God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministry. And here now is Brother Jerry.
One of the hot topics these days is federal gun control. Today and tomorrow, Dr. Larry Spargimino will be speaking with Mike Hoggard about a new DVD he's produced titled God, Guns, and Liberty. The programs were recorded before President Obama presented his 23 Executive Actions Plan. Please keep that in mind as you listen. Brother Mike is pastor of a church in Festus, Missouri. He's been on this program and spoken at some of our conferences. Brother Larry, please tell us a little bit about this new DVD.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and greetings to all in our listening audience. I've looked at it. It's parts 1 and 2. It's really good. Biblical, brings you God's perspective on personal defense, on our responsibility regarding our homes and especially our families, and very well done. Scripture in there, it'll be very, very helpful to you. We're going to be talking about God, guns, and liberty. Mike, thanks so much for having you with us.
It's good to be with you again, Brother Larry, and all the people at Southwest Radio and all the listeners. This is a subject that I wasn't sure if I wanted to do, but the Sandy Hook shooting, the elementary school shooting, really kind of brought it to the forefront, and we're dealing with this situation right now. The headlines in the news today is that President Obama has somewhere around 16, 17 different executive orders that he is going to try to use to try to circumvent the Constitution, to circumvent the Second Amendment, to try to take away the gun rights and gun ownership in this country. And I absolutely think it is going to end up being one of the worst things that's ever happened in this country, Brother Larry.
Right. Well, Rahm Emanuel, who was, I think, President Obama's top advisor during the opening years of his first 4 years, said this. He said, never pass up a good crisis. And that's what we've had. And crises are opportunities to bring in drastic changes and far-reaching legislative reform, so to speak. I remember going back to September the 11th, 2001, so all kinds of new measures and security procedures designed to supposedly protect the people. And so every time there is a crisis caused by gun violence, there are new calls for reforming our gun laws, which means jeopardizing the Constitution. So you're actually right. Well, you know, this is such an important issue. I really believe that. But I am interested, as we begin, in the title of your DVD. I think it's a great title, but some of our listeners might find it somewhat perplexing. What's the significance of the title, God, Guns, and Liberty? Tell us about that title.
Well, it all goes to the idea that when I decide to have a philosophy for my life or my character or my attitude or whatever it is that I do, I think as born-again, Bible-believing Christians, we need to get those from the Scriptures. And some people might be shocked, and I've gotten a little criticism over this video because of the fact that, number one, I'm a pastor. Number two, I'm a born-again Christian. And we see places in the Bible, we see Christ telling us, you know, if a man compel thee to go with him a mile, go with him twain. If he smite thee upon the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. And I believe in Christian humility. I believe in Christian meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I believe absolutely in those principles. And I'm not really a violent person. I never got into fights in school. In fact, I used to let them beat me up before I did anything. And I'm still to this day not a very violent person. I'm not an aggressive person by any means. But over the years, there's been some things that have happened to me that and happened in our area that makes me see that I'm not the only one here on this earth. I have a wife. I have two boys that still live in my home. I've raised three daughters already, and now I have grandchildren. And I would hate for something to ever happen to them. And so I went to the Scriptures to see if there was a scriptural allowance for me to defend, number one, my family, to protect them, to defend my property. And I am not a materialistic person, but I believe that God gives us things, especially land. God is the author of liberty, and the Bible says to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And Brother Larry, here's something that was in the minds and the hearts of the framers of the Constitution when they put this together. They had just come from, a lot of these people, you know the history of America, it was settled here primarily by Europeans, especially in the 13 colonies. It was settled here primarily by English colonists who were under the jurisdiction of King George. King George was in a situation where he was not allowing the colonists to have rights. They didn't have a right to address their grievances. They didn't have their. He wasn't listening to them. They didn't have a right to represent themselves, even though he was taxing them. And at some point, King George actually hired the Hessians, which was a German militia group, to come over and basically start a war over here. And the colonists and those leaders, if you remember, that's the reason why they wrote the Declaration of Independence, was they said, you can't do that. You can't rule over us like this and expect us to submit to that and then fire guns and fire weapons at us. You just can't do that. And so they decided to break off. And so when they wrote the Constitution, they looked at it after they had ratified the original seven parts of the Constitution. They looked at it and they said, we need some things in here. We need some amendments right away. And, of course, one of those is the amendment that gives us, Brother Larry, you and I, the right to preach the gospel in this country, and that the government agrees that it will not establish a religion, nor will it prohibit the free exercise thereof. And so you and I, to this day, have a right to get on this radio broadcast and say what our religious views are and what the Bible says, and we can do that without worry of harassment. And that wasn't the case in England, because the Church of England, which was the government church, held a lot of power over the people. And so the other thing that they did was, again, we got to have a free press. And then they decided that they needed an amendment that guaranteed, that absolutely guaranteed, the American citizen's ability to remain at liberty and to remain free. And so here's what they wrote. A well-regulated militia being necessary, I like that word, necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And to me, that language is, it's very clear. It's not up for argument. It's not up for, well, you interpret it this way and so interpret it that way. It means exactly what it says. And when we hear the liberals talking about on their airwaves and in their press conferences about how you don't need a 30-round clip to kill a deer, you don't need a semi-automatic to go shoot squirrels with, this is not the issue. And that was not the issue with the founding fathers. That the issue was is that they were guaranteeing the security of the people and to the right to live in the liberty that God has, that Christ gave us. And so they said, then the principle here is going to be that the American citizen is going to be as well-armed as the government is, so that the American citizen has the right, has the, and some people say, if you listen to Judge Andrew Napolitano, he'll say we not only have the right, we have the obligation to make sure that the government does not infringe upon the rights. Because, Brother Larry, you and I both know that if the government feels like they can come and remove the guns, then that's one of the amendments to the Constitution. They also will then, they're not going to stop with that. They're going to come after our Bibles. They're going to come after our faith. They're going to come after the words that you and I are saying, and those are already an issue when it comes to dealing with the sodomite agenda in this country. You and I both know, and probably these listeners know, that at some point they're going to clamp down on the preachers and try to tell us, you can't say what you're saying behind your pulpit or behind your radio broadcast about sodomites, because now they are a protected species. And so if we allow the government to take one right away, they're not going to stop with that. They're going to come after others.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I have heard, and you've alluded to it, where left-wingers in Congress tell us, well, You don't need an assault weapon to shoot a duck or a rabbit or a pheasant, but that's not the issue. America's founders knew that the Bill of Rights was necessary to protect the people from the government, as you have pointed out. Now, unfortunately, the indoctrination that has been the steady diet of American school children and public, and it's really not public, it's government schools, they've been so confused that the general population is more afraid of an armed citizenry than of the government. But the government is the real danger. As a matter of fact, you probably read the book by R.J. Rummel. It's entitled Death by Government. It shows it is governments that have slaughtered their own people by the millions. I mean, even today, we look at Syria. I think some 60,000 Syrian civilians have been killed, not by Italians or by the French or by Americans or by Chinese. They've been killed by their own government. And I like what Rummel says. He says, though there were two world wars and numerous regional conflicts in the 20th century, it is the penchant of governments for killing their own people that has made the last 100 years the deadliest of all centuries. Now, you probably know my wife is from China, and we certainly love the Chinese people, but who killed some 60 million Chinese in the 20th century? It wasn't the Japanese, although I know the Japanese did invade China. Maybe they killed half a million or maybe a million, but who killed 60 million Chinese? It was a fellow by the name of Mao Zedong who has killed millions of Cambodians. It was a Cambodian by the name of Pol Pot. And we could say the same thing about Joseph Stalin killing Russians. So, you know, this drizzle or whatever it is that we get, you know, well, you don't need an assault weapon to shoot a duck. It's not about hunting. It's about preservation of our liberties and our rights.
Conspiracy theories aside, we already have had a situation in this country where the government has opened fire on its own citizens, and that's at the Branch Davidian compound in Waco. Now, I know that David Koresh's doctrine was all messed up. He thought he was Jesus Christ and so on. But we have a legitimate situation here where in that compound there were helpless women and children, and the government opened fire upon that compound. Is it possible and likely that it's going to happen again? And the answer is absolutely yes. You mentioned this book earlier. You've also had Bill Federer on your program, and he's spoken at the conferences we've been in. He has a book called America's God and Country, and it's just an encyclopedia of quotations. Here's what Noah Webster said concerning this liberty that you and I are talking about. He said, before standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be, on any pretense, raised in the United States. A military force at the command of Congress can execute no laws but such as the people perceive to be just and constitutional, for they will possess the power, and jealousy will instantly inspire the inclination to resist the execution of a law which appears to them unjust and oppressive. And it was absolutely in the hearts and the minds of these people when they put this Second Amendment into effect, that it was not about squirrels and rabbits and deer, and I'd love to deer hunt. It was about protecting the rights, the property of the American citizen. And we're even in a situation right now, Brother Larry, where we're actually, their government is turning our rights over, not to some dictator in Washington, but to United Nations rule. And the United Nations then comes in and rules over our country. It rules over our property. And that's one of the things, and I heard Bill Federer down in Fort Smith at your conference talk about the one of the basic God-given rights was land ownership. When we have situations like this where we own land and yet the United Nations or the government is going to take that away for no reason whatsoever, I don't think that we should just lay down and let them do it. I really don't.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. And friends, we're going to pause for a moment because I want to get our announcer, Jerry, to the mic, and you might not be able to listen to the whole program, but Brother Jerry, tell our listeners how they can get their own copy of this really excellent two-part DVD, God, Guns, and Liberty.
To get the 2-hour, 20-minute DVD, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. God, Guns, and Liberty is a two-part DVD, and it's available for a gift of $15 in the U.S., $16 in Canada. Contact us today for your copy. Here again is Brother Larry.
Mike, you're really touching on some really core issues. I think there are so many Americans that if they just knew what this is all about, and if they stopped listening to the drive-by media and really started thinking and listening to good conservative Christian programs, they would really understand. You know, I've often been asked, should Americans be suspicious of the federal government? And my answer is absolutely yes. The gun issue is not just about guns, but about an administration, has swept fast and furious and Benghazi Gate under the rug. It's about a government that refuses to protect the unborn, a government that doesn't wince at raising taxes on hardworking Americans, but doesn't want to cut back on expenditures, a government that gives billions of dollars in foreign aid to countries that hate us, some of which continuously vote against us in the United Nations. So, you know, I mean, why is the Obama administration planning to give 20 F-16s and 200 of our best tanks to pro-Islamist leaders in Egypt and borrowing money that we don't have to foot the bill? It's hypocritical. It's shocking. And so here we have the government wanting to restrict our rights to protect ourselves, supposedly while refusing to take reasonable measures to stop the influx of illegal aliens into our country, many of whom are OTMs other than Mexicans. Who knows what they're bringing into our country? Maybe a suitcase nuke, maybe chemical weapons, biological weapons. And yet the government says, oh, don't worry about it. We'll protect you. We'll take care of you. People need to wake up.
Absolutely, and the points you bring here are absolutely valid, and they are biblical. And we are a nation, we pride ourselves on being a nation of laws and courts and civility. And one of the things that dawned on me, Brother Larry, was the night of Obama's second election, when it was clear that he was going to retake the presidency once again. It alarmed me to the fact that you and I don't live in the country that we thought we lived in. We certainly don't live in the country that we lived in 50 years ago. We are becoming, apparently, a minority, but that still doesn't make us wrong as far as what we believe in and what we stand on. There are movements all around this country. Some are very quiet, some are very open about it, where they're just basically telling the federal government, at some point, you're going to cross a line. We're going to try to do, and here's the scenario I think is going to happen. Obama's going to write these executive orders and he's going to try to put them in effect. Our hope is that maybe members of Congress would step in and override this thing, or that it would be taken, those issues would be taken to the courts, and the courts would rule that this is infringing on the rights of people and so on. We want to try to use the legislative process, the judicial process, the executive process as much as possible. But if that fails, then the only alternative that we have is to be able to defend ourselves. And this is really at the core issue. We're not looking to start a war. We're not looking to go kill people. That's not who we are. We're not violent people. I've met you, Brother Larry, and Brother Hutch, and I mean, I just can't see you duking it out with somebody just for no reason. But I know you're a gun owner, and I am too. And we've been in conferences together, and I've never seen you shoot anybody. But the thing is, if we are provoked and if we have to, we have a biblical right to defend ourselves. And let me lay this out scripturally. And I do this in the video. I try to lay out scriptural points so that people can see. We look in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 4, back when they were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And number one, you think about what the wall was for. The wall was for self-defense. Those people from Judah knew as they came back from Babylonian captivity that if they could not build that wall, then just living there was going to be futile because there was going to be somebody else that was going to come in and try to invade them. And people have told me and said, well, you know, you're depending on earthly things to protect you, and we should be depending on God. Well, we do depend on God. I go to sleep at night, every night, depending on God to watch over my house. But you have to ask the question, why were they building this wall? It's because they knew the threat was physical, they knew the threat was real, and they had to build the wall. But here's what the Bible says was going on while they were building this thing. In Nehemiah 4:17, they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so build it, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. These people who were workmen and who were bricklayers and workers were not going to depend on the government of Judah at that time, or Israel. They were not going to depend on the soldiers to defend them. They were going to defend themselves because they knew that if they didn't, then they would never, ever get that wall built. And clearly in the Bible, the Bible talks about using weapons to defend yourself. And somebody, when I told people I was going to be doing this, somebody sent me a verse, and to me it was just absolutely outstanding. Joel chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. And then it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Brother Larry, there was a woman in Georgia. She called her husband because she was home alone with two boys. She called her husband because someone was outside beating on the door, ringing the doorbell, trying to get in, trying to see if anybody was home. Her husband said, go hide the boys, and I'm going to call 911. Well, in the process of that, she took the boys and hid them in a crawl space under the house, and she went and hid herself. While they were waiting for the 911 call to go through and for police to respond, this guy broke in this woman's house, and he's rifling through their stuff, probably looking for easy sell stuff so he can get drug money. When he opened the closet door, he was staring down the nose of her .38 Special, and she shot six times at him, five times hitting him in the head and the neck. She was weaker than he was physically, but now she had strengthened herself and used that ability to defend herself, to defend her boys.
Well, friends, be sure to tune in to our next broadcast. We're going to continue with Pastor Mike Hoggard.
God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Today, Dr. Larry Spargimino and Pastor Mike Hoggard conclude their discussion about Mike's DVD, God, Guns, and Liberty. As we pointed out yesterday, the program was recorded prior to President Obama's presentation of his sweeping gun control plan. In addition to serving as pastor at a church in Festus, Missouri, Brother Mike produces DVDs on a variety of subjects and has been on this program many times. Here now is Dr. Spargimino.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and greetings to all in our listening audience. Brother Mike, so good to have you once again.
It's good to be back here, and again, we're just dealing with a very, very touchy subject with some people, because some Christians have the idea that we're not allowed to defend ourselves. After I made this video and put it out, I've got several emails commending me for it, but then I got an email from somebody, I think they were European or something like that, that wrote to me, and they were just really criticizing me on this issue, and their point was this, that as a Christian, if someone comes in my house and they harm my wife or my children, I actually know a pastor that immediately after the service on a Sunday morning, him and his wife walked next door to the church parsonage. When he walked in there, there were two armed men. They tied him up and made him watch as they raped his wife in front of him, and he was unable to defend himself doing it. And I had a person write to me and tell me that God would want me, number one, to let them do it, and number two, and then just forgive them as they walked away. And I absolutely do not believe that. Number one, it is not biblical. It is not scriptural. It is immoral for me to stand by and let someone who is weaker than me or someone weaker than an enemy, like my wife, my children. In our church, Brother Larry, in our church, we have about five or six men on any given service who are carrying. They all have concealed carry licenses. I have given them permission as the leadership of the church to do that, and the state of Missouri allows that to take place as long as I give the permission to do it. And we give permission to do it because in this area, a few years ago, there was a pastor over in Illinois in our area that a guy walked into the church. The pastor was preaching. He's, you know, man walked down to the front. Well, you and I both know when a guy comes to the front of the church, he wants to get saved or something like that. The pastor stepped outside of the pulpit to talk to him, and the guy shot and killed him right there in front of his church. And, of course, he gets by with it because he's so-called, you know, mentally ill. And so he gets, you know, three meals in a cot and a pampered lifestyle the rest of his life. And this pastor and his wife, this family has to deal with that, and the people have to deal with the fact that their pastor got shot. And we've just decided in this church that we have an obligation because of the stand we take, because of the message that we're sending out, because of the notoriety of our church. We've already had death threats. We have already had someone say, I am hoping that someone comes in and blows your church away. So we decided to take it seriously. And we feel as the men and the leaders of that church, we have an obligation to provide for the safety and the security of the people who sit inside of our church. And we won't cower down from that, because even if we called the police, and I think you had mentioned this as a topic today, even if we called the police, you know, the saying is when second counts, the police are minutes away. And if you call 911, you and I both know sometimes it's 15, 20, 30 minutes. Before we can get a response to that, what are we supposed to do while we're waiting for the police to show up? I have an article that I posted in this video of an 87-year-old woman who, when two punks were going to break into her house, she used a weapon to chase them off, something that's not being reported in the news. But this Oregon mall shooter just recently was actually stopped by a guy with a gun. There was a guy with a gun who had a legal right to carry a weapon, and he was in that mall, and he's the guy that put this thing to a stop. And so the issue is whether or not the government can protect us sufficiently so that we don't have to protect ourselves, or should we as Americans, should we as Christians feel obligated to take that into our own hands and defend ourselves?
That's the issue. We all remember, I'm sure you remember, this young man, Matthew Murray. He entered New Life Church in Colorado, I believe it was Colorado Springs, on December, I think it was the 9th, 2007. He had the intent of killing hundreds of worshipers. Well, it was one of the worshipers, the name is Gene Assam, who fired 10 rounds, wounding the would-be murderer, and then he took his own life. And some of the local newspapers who were not, you know, politically correct, they reported that the pastor stated that Assam saved over 100 lives. Can you imagine if that lady hadn't been there? And, you know, we don't hear too much about that from the mainstream media, but there are many, many, many cases where people who have a concealed carry permit or who are licensed to carry a firearm, who actually saved many lives. But, of course, you don't hear that from the president or from anyone else. But, Mike, let's talk about the issue about police protection. We're told, well, dial 911 and you'll have protection. How about that?
Well, let me say this, Brother Larry, and I made it a point to do this, and I spent a little bit of time dealing with law enforcement and police enforcement. In this video, I showed the biblical grounds on how weapons could be used in the scripture. Number one, for self-defense. Number two, those who carry weapons to execute the judgments of God. Paul told us to pray for those who enforce the law. They are ministers, okay? They bear the sword. They bear not the sword in vain. And you and I both know that any kind of government that's going to rule over people, even in a civil society such as ours and others, the police must have weapons. If they're going to enforce rules, there's always going to be people out there who are not going to obey the rules, and they're not going to keep the rules, and they're not going to do what they're supposed to. And the police have an absolute right to use lethal force if they have to, in order to defend the community, in order to protect the citizens, and also to enforce the law. They have that absolute right, and that right is given to them. And of course, we know from Scripture, Genesis chapter 9, and in the law, and that law was never revoked. The idea of capital punishment for certain crimes, the death penalty, absolutely has to be enforced, and God gives governments that right. Something else that people accused me of was of taking vengeance. They said vengeance belongs to the Lord. If someone breaks into my house and does something to me or my wife or my children, if I stop them, they saw that as vengeance. No, that's not vengeance. Vengeance would be if they did it and I could not stop them, then for me to hunt them down and kill them myself, that would be vengeance, and I think that belongs to the government. But in the case where I have the ability to put a stop to it and defend them so that they don't do what they want to do, then that's my responsibility. And let me lay out a scenario for you, that something that I found in the Scriptures several years ago. When I first read this, I sat back, my jaw dropped, because I realized, number one, the physical scenario that this was laying out, but also, Brother Larry, there is a spiritual thing to this as well. I was reading in 1 Samuel chapter 13. This was in the days of Saul. Saul was king over Israel, but there was a problem. The Philistines, you and I both know the Philistines, they were never the friends of God. They were never the friends of Israel. They were the constant sworn enemies of God's people. And for some reason, during the days of Saul, Saul was so weakened in his ability to reign over the people that the Philistines had so much power over the Israelites. Let me read from the Scriptures what it says. 1 Samuel 13:19. The Bible says, "Now there was no smith," which means a blacksmith or a forger. "There was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, his coulter, and his axe, and his mattock." And so here's what the Bible's telling us. The Philistines specifically refused to allow any of the Israelites to be blacksmiths, to forge iron, or to make any kind of iron instrument whatsoever. And here was their thinking. They said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. The enemies do not want us to have weapons. And so you have to ask the question, and this is a legitimate question. It's not conspiratorial at all. It's a legitimate question that God wants us to ask. If the government knows that on the basis of history, on the basis of common sense, that taking guns away from the citizens, if the government knows that that will not stop violent crime in this country, then what is their other agenda for removing the guns out of the citizens' hands? And only those in law enforcement, only those in the military. You know, here it's funny. Barack Obama doesn't want me to defend my house with weapons or carry a weapon to defend myself, and yet he has signed in a little deal that says that he is going to have 24/7 armed guards surrounding him for the rest of his life. And so the Philistines knew that they should not allow the Israelites to have any weapons. If you go back and look in the book of Exodus, the reason why Pharaoh put the Israelites in cruel bondage, he said, because if our enemies want to come against us, they could use the Israelites, who are probably going to be more than us, to come against us. And so they had to put the Israelites in bondage so that the government of Pharaoh could continue. And here we have the same situation. The Philistines knew that if the Israelites had weapons, then the Israelites could fight their own battles and defend themselves. And the Philistines absolutely refused to let them have any weapons. And so here's what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 13:22. "So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found." And again, first time I read this, I sat back, my jaw dropped, because it dawned on me. Here we have a situation in the government of Israel where only the government and those who were governing had weapons. They refused to allow the people the right to have weapons. And this was going to prove disastrous. You and I both know that it was going to spell out the absolute destruction of the people of Israel when only the government was allowed to have any weapons.
Mm-hmm. Well, friends, we're going to pause briefly, and we'll have Pastor Mike come back in a moment, but let's get our announcer, Jerry, to the mic. Brother Jerry, tell us how our listeners can get this really important and well-done DVD on guns.
To get it, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website address is swrc.com. God, Guns, and Liberty is over 2 hours in length, and it's 2 parts on a single DVD. Get your copy for an offering of $15 in the U.S., $16 in Canada. Let's get back now to Brother Larry's interview with Mike Hoggard.
It's just really amazing how many scriptures there are that really address this issue. I want to share two. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Now, if a man, a husband, is not willing to do as that man did in North Georgia to teach his wife how to use a gun and to help her to be equal to that violent man who broke down the door, that man is an infidel, because there's danger to our wives, there's danger to our families and to our kids and to our properties. And certainly Jesus said, turn the other cheek, but he did not mean that we have to allow someone to rape our wives or our daughters. He meant that there are times when we need to hold our peace. There are times when we need to maybe even suffer someone to say something about us that's not true. But he certainly was not talking and endorsing the idea that we have to be passive in the face of a threat to our lives. We do believe in the sanctity of human life. I'm pro-life. I know that Pastor Hoggard is pro-life. And if we believe that, we certainly need to do what is necessary to preserve life. And then, of course, there's another scripture where Jesus told his disciples, "And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." That's from Luke 22 and verse 36. So, friends, you know, a lot of times, as Pastor Mike has said, we are presented as being bloodthirsty and vengeful, but the way I look at the arguments that the other side has is they are really, number one, not being obedient to the Scriptures. Number two, they have a low view of the sinfulness of man's heart, total depravity. The Bible teaches that. Number three, they're not willing to do what's necessary to preserve the life of their families and even their own lives. And I think this this DVD does an excellent job in setting the record straight. But, Mike, let's talk a little bit more about police protection. How about if you pick up the telephone in Festus and dial 911? Will you have a police officer there in about 30 seconds to rescue you?
No, and Festus is not a very big town, and the police station is just probably less than a mile from here. But if something were to happen here, in fact, I have we have a good friend of our church in ministry who is a local police officer, and I was talking to him about it, and I told him, I said, "We've got guys in here that are armed, and if anything happens, you know, send an ambulance, and it probably won't be for us." And his words to me was, he said, "Don't wait for an ambulance and don't wait for us." And he said, "You probably just need to go ahead and kill the guy and get it over with." And this was a law enforcement man. And he was telling us from his experience, don't wait for us to show up. All we're going to do is investigate what happened after it happened. But we can't get here in time in order to do that. You have to be able and be willing to do that for yourself. And one of the things that has occurred to me, Brother Larry, as a pastor, you and I both know that we are, and I know you're a pastor too, we are at war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and the Bible says that we do not war after the flesh, for our weapons of warfare are not carnal. And now when we're dealing with carnal issues and carnal people, then yes, those weapons of warfare must be carnal. But when we're dealing with spiritual issues, then those weapons of warfare must be spiritual as well. And here is one of the connections that I made. And when the devil begins to work, he just does it in every sphere of life. And so we have a conspiracy of fear going on right now. America loves guns. The government, the powers that be, the New World Order or whatever, doesn't want the American citizen to have that strength, to have that gun. How can we get the American citizen to not just lose the battle over their guns? How can we get the average American citizen to hand their weapons in? We have to do it through fear. You mentioned 9/11. 9/11 had the result, Rahm Emanuel was right, had the result, they took advantage of it, and they began to chip away and eat away at the rights of American citizens. These were not American citizens that brought these buildings down. These were enemies. They were terrorists, but they began to chip away at the rights. They used this, and they're using the Sandy Hook shooting. They're using the Aurora Theater shooting. They're using everything that they can get their hands on as a pretense to take away the rights of the citizens to defend themselves, to protect themselves, and to stand up against a tyrannical government. Even in the scripture, and I am totally against rebellion of any kind, but in the scripture, you see where God's people rebelled against an outside authority. In the case of one of the judges, I think it was Ehud or Barak, one of the two, where he killed the king of the Eglon. You have Samson defeating the Philistines. You have Hezekiah, whose father, Ahaz, practically gave over the rights to the kingdom to the Syrians. And Hezekiah, when he stood up in his days, the Bible specifically says he rebelled against the Assyrians. He looked at the Syrians and said, you don't rule over us. We're going to rule ourselves. And so this is the realistic situation we're seeing. And the idea is to make the people fear enough so that they will reach out to the government and say, please, we're going to hand over our rights to you as long as you promise to protect us. And that is a lousy way to live because it won't work. Then if I were to take this into the spiritual realm, Brother Larry, you and I, we fight a battle every day. Our battle is over this Bible. It's over the Word of God. There are many enemies out there who are going after our sheep in our church. They are wolves. They are not sheep. They are devourers. They're Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. They are going after the sheep. One of the things that I deal with in this ministry, and I appreciate Southwest Radio and the stand that you guys have taken against the emerging church, against all the heresies that are out there, the fact is that there are wolves out there that are going after the flock of God with false doctrine. They're trying to subvert whole houses. They're trying to devour. They're trying to make merchandise of their souls. They're trying to do this and trying to do that. The average church member needs to be trained on how to defend themselves. Because let's say that somebody in my church, let's say that they're at work with somebody and there's somebody that they're going to work that is part of some heresy. And that person that they work with is trying to coerce them, trying to convince them, oh, your Bible's not right. Oh, there's no such thing as hell. Jesus was not God. And you know, issues like that. If that person who attends our churches has not been adequately taught, trained, and I teach my people that their Bible is their weapon, and they can defend themselves. The whole armor of God has everything to do with the Bible, the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, that's the Word of God. Loins girt about with truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And so the whole way that our people in our church can defend themselves is with the Word of God. But they're at work, they're at a family gathering, they're sitting around with neighbors, and their neighbors are trying to feed them false doctrine and trying to convince them. The Jehovah's Witnesses are knocking on the door. The Mormons are coming around on their bicycles, handing literature out. And the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses have stole I don't know how many people out of Bible-believing churches because those people could not defend themselves. Well, the pastor may not be able to get over to their house in time to run the Jehovah's Witness off, to run the cults off, or to fend off the false doctrine for them, or we may not be able to answer the phone. And I teach my people that they have a right to defend themselves biblically and spiritually against the attacks they're going in.
Amen. Very well put. And I know you get into responsible gun ownership. That's very important. You know, I was shocked that Adam Lanza, the Sandy Hook murderer, spent hours holed up in the basement of his home playing violent video games. He was surrounded by military posters And as a matter of fact, his mother had warned babysitters never to turn their backs on Adam, and yet she provided him with a variety of weapons. And, of course, she paid for that error that she made while she was sleeping. Adam, I believe it was, he pumped 4 bullets into her head. So, of course, as you get into in the video, responsible gun ownership is key. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have guns. Pastor Mike, wonderful presentation, wonderful work. And, brother, may the Lord continue to bless you. And I'll be seeing you here, there, or in the air.
Amen.
And that covers all the bases.